Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. Hey friends, Shauna here, and today's episode is with one of Millennial Money's biggest fans and one of our favorite returning guests, Jacqueline Twilley, who is a ninja at powerful negotiation strategies. She insists that winning at the game of negotiation, it really just starts with your mindset.
Going back to mindset, like a lot of the negotiation is pulling out those cobwebs of why don't we want to negotiate, or you know, if we're already getting paid a lot, or they offered you a little bit more money than what you expected to make anyway, you're like, I'm good. But my whole thing is don't leave any money on the table. Like, at least we're going to say, is this the best we can do? And that phrase right there, is that the best we can do, is one of my favorite things to say in a negotiation.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/millennialmoney. Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from, no matter what book you want to dive into. The truth is, I have negotiated for so many things over my career, and it always induces this sense of like panic coupled with my heart rate just shooting through the roof. But every time I negotiate, I earn more money or I pay less for something. So I'm basically a big fan. And thanks to Jacqueline's wisdom, we can all be super successful at negotiation too.
She is a superstar. She has an MBA in leadership. She's founder and president of ZeroGap.co, which is a global training and development firm that specializes in women's leadership with male-dominated industries, and is who you definitely want in your corner when it comes to negotiation. In this episode, we talk about how men and women do negotiation differently, how you can find confidence in any negotiation situation, and, of course, secrets to win at negotiating your salary. Let's get into it. Well, we're here to talk about a very serious subject, negotiation, which for just about like anyone, it's really difficult, but especially for women. Negotiation is just this thing that we either find ourselves totally sweaty and stressed out about or fumbling over the words. So I'm just curious, what are we all getting wrong when it comes to negotiation for our salary?
Well, the first thing is thinking that it's going to be an issue for us to ask. As women, we are taught that we need to be polite and humble and cordial, and asking for what we want isn't taught. So that's the first mistake that we're all making, is getting over that hurdle that we can. And the second thing that we're all doing that we need to stop is downplaying our value. So what I mean by that is, like, when you get a compliment, instead of saying, thanks, I pride myself on doing this well, we're saying things like, oh, no big deal, I can do that in my sleep, that was easy. And we're sending a message that we shouldn't be valued when we don't accept that praise.
Wow, that's such an important point. So what do you see, I guess, as the major differences between men and women when it comes to negotiation? Is it really just that as women, we are taught, like you said, to just kind of fold our hands and smile politely, and we don't dare ask for anything more than maybe that is given to us? Or, like, are we just, you know, born two different innate species where men are just far more comfortable doing this?
I'll tell you this, as an auntie of many kids, my nephew, he's 12, a few months ago when I was visiting, he says, come in my room and watch me play Fortnite. I'm so awesome at this. And he lost twice in a row. And I don't really know what Fortnite is, but he's like, I'm so awesome. I'm like, kid, I don't think you're supposed to be done in like 60 seconds, but whatever. On the flip side, when I look at my nieces, they're looking for that constant reassurance of like, am I doing this right? Is this okay? And so I do think a lot of negotiation habits start when we're at a young age. At the core, most of our negotiation skills are tied to our confidence level. And so once we get to a level of self-awareness where we can say, I'm definitely confident in doing this, and I know I do this well, and I'm going to own it, and not worry about the backlash of being considered the B word, then it really, we can start taking on some of the characteristics that will help us present our most confident selves in a negotiation.
That's such a good word, confident, because I know that I've struggled with that different times in my career being an entrepreneur. There are times when I've had to fake the confidence, you know, when I'm in a tough situation. But I also think there's the confidence really, to me, like, goes hand in hand with this mindset piece around negotiation, which is, like you say, just valuing what you're worth. And I would imagine, like, if we step that back a little bit, it's even a process of really thinking back in your life of those things that you got stuck, or those things that maybe those times it didn't work out for you. How do you, as someone who teaches negotiation, walk that back with people so maybe they can understand what those roadblocks are?
Yeah, so it's so important. Like you said, the mindset is everything. And you talk about this a lot on your podcast. A lot of our money relationship, it starts with how we view things. I like to tell people that negotiation is a conversation. It's not a battle. So that's part of framing how you think of a negotiation. But consider this. The last time you went to dinner with someone and you were deciding which restaurant you went to, they may have suggested one restaurant and you may have suggested something else, and you landed somewhere in the middle, or even, you know, going to see a movie or a concert. That is a negotiation. We negotiate a lot, but we don't realize how often we do it because it is a conversation. So when we take that same concept of, I'm just having a conversation here, it makes the things that are higher stakes, it really decreases our stress so we can go into that with clarity, with the mindset of, okay, I got this.
I like that. It is really a conversation. We just tend to maybe heighten the emotions a little bit, particularly if we're on the side where we're trying to negotiate for more salary or something like that. So I would imagine then in this conversation, to me, it feels a little bit like a dance, like you're dancing with somebody. Is there certain things that you should say, shouldn't say? Like, is there a rule book that maybe you can follow, or is it just different every time?
So if I gave you a rule book, it would be my latest book, Don't Leave Money on the Table, Negotiation Strategies. But here's the thing. In negotiation, it is just as important that you spend time listening actively as it is of what you say and how you say it. So one of the key tenets of a successful negotiation is that you're able to present open-ended questions to the other party so that you gain information, because information is power. The more you know, the better informed decisions you can make. And it really puts you in a position of power when you're understanding the other person's point of view and understanding what they want, so that you can walk away with a win-win, thinking, okay, I'm going to get this and they're also going to get this. And the negotiation part is getting creative on how you reach that solution.
Interesting. Yeah, I like that. And salary, of course, is this, something that we're very familiar with negotiating. But I've been an entrepreneur my whole career. I know that you have been in both sides of the world, corporate and entrepreneur. Is it different if you're running your own business or having a side hustle, and maybe you're negotiating for like a project that you're pitching or something like that? Is it a different process than if you're just straight up in the corporate world and you're negotiating for your salary?
Some of the nuances are different, but at the core, it's the same. So when we think about pilots, when they get ready to take flight, they go through a pre-flight checklist, and that's to ensure that they have the smoothest flight possible. So you should do a negotiation checklist. So when it comes to the difference between being an entrepreneur and being in the corporate world, some of the things that you may be looking to gain from the negotiation may be different, but your strategy really can be the same. So I have a 5-part framework, and it's an acronym. It's LATTE, because I'm a LATTE lover. So yes. 5 steps. The first one is look at the details. Second, anticipate challenges. Third, think about your walk away point, which is setting the boundaries. The fourth one is talk it through, meaning have an outline of what you're going to say. And then the fifth step is evaluate the options. So no matter what world you're in, if you're in the entrepreneurial space or you're in a traditional 9-to-5 job, when you go through that negotiation checklist, you're going to ensure that you're having the smoothest conversation possible. And that anticipate the challenges part is so key, because how many times have we been in a situation where after the fact we're like, oh, I should have said this, should have done that. So when you're anticipating the challenges, you don't just anticipate them. You also think about your response to that challenge. And if possible, think about 2 options so that when or if that comes up, you're not caught off guard and you're able to navigate that as smoothly as possible. And so for me as an entrepreneur, if I'm negotiating, let's say I'm buying software and I'm negotiating a deal, if I go through that LATTE method, I'm going to be pretty confident in what I'm bringing to the table and what I want to achieve, keeping the other person, that software company, keeping their interest in mind as well. Similar to how I would do if I was going in during a performance review and asking for more money.
Good point. Yeah. And I like that first T too. I want to talk about that for a minute. You call it the walk away point. Mm-hmm. And I think this is something that a lot of us get wrong, because we tend to go like, oh, okay. I'll take it. I'll take whatever you're giving me. And we just screw up the negotiation process like right there. But how do you determine
what is like a reasonable walk away, you know, point?
Yes. So it's all about boundaries, right? What are the things that you want the most, which are your aspirations in a negotiation? And then what are the deal breakers? Now, when we're looking for a new home or if you're looking for a car, you have your dream list. Like, I want all of these things. And then you're like, okay, this is my budget.
Reality check.
Right. So when you're going into negotiation, you can have your dream list and then you have your, okay, this is realistic for my business size or my career level, et cetera. And so based on those two things, you can say, okay, I'm going to use the analogy for a job search just for a moment. If a company is going to pay you 10 grand more, but your daily commute will increase by 2 hours, that 2 hour additional commute may be a deal breaker for you, even though it's 10 grand more. So alternatively, yes, let's say your commute increases by 45 minutes, but they're going to give you a stipend to repay your student loans. So now you have your dream list of things, but once you get to see what the offer is, now you're saying, okay, if my long-term goals in life are to, one, pay off my student debt and spend more time with my family, now I have a decision to make because I'm increasing my commute 45 minutes, but I have a stipend on top of my salary to pay back the student debt. What is it worth? And then from there, you can clearly think about what your walk away point will be. For you, this could be, well, here's that other job with a 2 hour commute and 10K more. And then you'll be able to walk that back and say, this is the right decision for me at this stage of my life.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Okay, listen, like many of you out there, I love Notion, our sponsor today. And I honestly use it every day for my notes and journaling. I also track our family expenses, and I manage all of our household to-dos. Notion has been such a lifesaver in helping me get a lot more organized because that's not one of my strengths, without stressing me out. Notion is a place where any team can write, plan, organize, and rediscover the joy of play. It's a workspace designed not just for making progress, but getting inspired. Notion is the AI-powered workspace that can summarize things like meeting notes and automatically generate action items and help you get answers to questions in seconds. It will honestly blow your mind. Notion is for everyone, whether you're a Fortune 500 company, you're a freelancer, you're starting a startup, or you're a student juggling classes and clubs, or you're somebody like myself that just really wants to get organized. Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/ETM. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/ETM, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you are supporting our show, notion.com/ETM. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial.
It is Tuesday, and that means it's time for another Ask Shauna. This one comes from Taylor. Hello, I've been listening to your podcast for a few weeks now, and I really love how open and honest you are about talking about money because it's caused me nothing but anxiety and stress, and I'm slowly starting to have a better relationship with my money and having open conversations with my money. So thank you. My question is, my husband and I have a lot of credit card debt, and we're tackling first before we save for our next step in our lives. Once the cards are paid off, is it true that creditors close accounts if you don't use them? We have about 12 cards between the two of us, and I don't want to pay them off just to use them again. Please help. Thank you. Taylor, I'm so excited to have you join us on the podcast, and I'm even so excited to just hear that you're slowly starting to get in a better relationship with your money. It takes time. It took me years to get the whole mindset thing down around money and to understand how powerful that was to achieving my goals. So if you're already getting it, you are like an A student. And this is a great question and really a much debated one. I've seen it hit or miss with people, especially if they have a lot of credit cards, but they have zero debt. If they do end up canceling your card, I suggest calling them immediately and seeing if you could get your credit line reinstated if that's what you want to do. Many companies will do this, but you kind of got to be on top of it once they end up closing it. to just avoid this whole like cancellation altogether, I suggest just put some regular activity on your cards. You could space it out, but it doesn't have to be much. Think about putting your Netflix or your Hulu subscription fees on the card, or things that could be easily paid off every month, like a simple coffee visit or gas each month, like little tiny expenses. But that will just show the creditors that you're still accessing that credit line, which at the end of the day, that's what they want. They want to just get in the position where you're so tempted that you end up putting more credit card debt on, because again, that's how they make their money and they're not really looking out for you. So I want to look out for you. And a lot of this journey about mindset and paying off debt and then getting to the place where you're not going to get back in debt is really reframing the way you think about spending money, maybe the what you attach to the things that you buy. I mean, this is a whole other Ask Shauna question, but just a couple of things for you to keep in mind. Again, I always say like just put something small on the card that you can pay off, because this programs your mind that you can pay it off without any interest charges. And you're kind of training your brain to realize that this is only going to be the charge every month on this card. That's it. Meaning you're sending a message that, hey, brain, we're not using this card for anything else. This is what we're using it for. We're using it just to keep this line of credit open. And all of these little brain tricks, they may seem really silly, but they are effective, because if you look at how habits and patterns are developed, it's these little tricks over and over and over again. Again, if you decide not to use your cards, just make sure that you check your credit score regularly so you can stay on top of these credit lines when maybe they might be canceled, and then you can get a feel for how this might impact your score. I think a lot of people get really, really nervous because obviously one of the factors of your credit score is the amount available credit versus the amount used. So if cards start canceling, it starts shrinking that ratio and potentially could really drag down your credit score. But it also depends on what season of life you're in. Maybe you're in a time right now where you don't need to use a lot of credit. And if some of those cards go away, maybe it's okay. Maybe it still leaves you in a good position with your credit score. And then when you need to access more credit, maybe you open another card, or who knows? I mean, there's lots of ways to slice and dice this. But really, at the end of the day, I just want to send you a big congrats that if you're on this journey to pay off your cards, it's a huge achievement. And any encouragement that I can give you to just keep going little by little, I certainly want to do that for you. So hey, listen, if you have an Ask Shauna question just like Taylor, it's super easy. Head on over to the link in the show notes, or you can head to our website, mmoneypodcast.com, and you'll find the Ask Shauna spot right on our homepage. We'll be tackling an Ask Shauna every Tuesday, and I want to help answer your question. As a Millennial Money listener, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their amazing service. Over the last year, I've become a huge fan of Audible because I can listen to a book anywhere I go, and then I can just pick back up right where I left off. I'm currently reading Atomic Habits by James Clear. Have you heard about this book? It's all about how to build good, strong habits for basically anything you want to achieve in life. Grab your free copy and start reading with me today. To download your free audiobook, again, go to audibletrial.com/millennialmoney. Again, that's audibletrial.com/millennialmoney for your free audiobook. I like that. I like thinking about it that way. And I could see how you could, of anything that you're negotiating for, kind of walk through that process. I like that. And so when we talk about like negotiating in the corporate world, I know that we're inching towards the end of the year here. Is there like a right or wrong time to negotiate your salary?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Such a good question. All of your questions are good, by the way. Here's the key. Understand when the company's fiscal year budget is set. Because oftentimes the performance review calendar and that fiscal year budget, they're not in total alignment, meaning you may have your performance review a few months after the new budget was set, and there may not be money to increase your salary. So if you start having those casual conversations around the time that the fiscal year budget is set, when your supervisor or their supervisor is in those meetings setting the budget, they can already be aware to say, oh, you know what? Shauna's been killing it this year, and she's mentioned to me how she's added value to the company with this win and that win because you've been priming the pump. And so they'll advocate to increase the budget to increase your salary. So another good time to advocate for yourself in terms of a promotion or a raise is on the heels of a big win. So we talked about this earlier of not downplaying your value, is getting to the point where when you do something really awesome, you're like, yes, thanks for recognizing that. I like to see that on my bonus, or, you know, I want to be assigned to the next awesome project, whatever that is for you. But in order for you to negotiate, the timing matters, but you also have to know what you want. And if you can't articulate what you want, then the timing really doesn't matter. But if you know what you want, then timing matters greatly. I would say a bad time to go in and ask for more money is if your company is going through a financially tough time, or let's say your boss, their cat died of cancer. Like, I would not go in and ask for more money that day because obviously it's a difficult time. Yes. You get my point. So yes, timing matters, but along with timing, be certainly clear on what your aspirations are.
Wow. So many good points. I love that priming the pump example. That's a good one. That's going to stick in my head. Gosh, I have so many questions for you. We have become friends off of the podcast, and I know that I've watched so many different women share these success stories of working with you and increasing their salary, or maybe they get a new project because they've worked with you and they've learned this art of negotiation. And I love that people start to really feel their worth and then they share it back with the community. So I'm just curious, like, what initially ignited your passion around teaching specifically women how to be good negotiators?
Yes. So it was around the time that you and I first connected years ago when I was working with Lavo League. And it was during that time where I was on a spiritual journey, really just trying to figure out what is my purpose in life. And through my involvement with Lavo, I learned about the wage gap and equal pay days. And when I was facilitating a negotiation workshop for Lavo, something clicked. It set my soul on fire, and it completely changed the trajectory of my life and my career. And that's when I left CDC, the Center for Disease Control, and started my company and started doing this work full time.
Wow. Yeah. And I would imagine, right? I mean, what do you feel when women share back with you that it works and that this is like changing their lives? Because I mean, this is money. I mean, this is like, you know, big things for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is one of the most rewarding things. Like, this morning when I got up, I was looking at my messages and I got another message, and I get them so frequently now that I never want to take for granted that I'm doing my life's work. But it feels amazing. And I'm just so thankful that I get to do meaningful work, and I love it. And I love that I was seeking, like, what is my purpose? I don't just want to be on this planet. I want to make an impact, and I get to do that.
Yeah, I think that's just, we all want that, right? And so many of us, it feels like we're just beating our head against the wall trying to find that. And sometimes it's just like right under your nose, that thing that you're really supposed to do.
Yes. Okay, suck up my tears.
Oh, wow. This might be the first tears on a podcast. I love it. Well, yeah, you offer so much value. And again, I just think it's so important because I think it's easy in, being an entrepreneur, being in the corporate world, to really undervalue yourself and just kind of be thankful for whatever you're getting paid or whatever project you're doing. And I know I've done it many times where I've had to say, like, okay, Shauna, like, you're actually qualified and talented and smart, and you can go ask for more money. And then it's crazy when you do and when you hold yourself to a lot of those steps like you just mentioned, and it works. I mean, then it's like, well, why am I not doing this every single time? I would imagine that you probably hear that from a lot of people.
Right. And so I'll share with you, just this past week, someone reached out to me and she had negotiated the week prior to reaching out to me and she didn't get anything. And she said, I want to try this again. I need your help. So we get on the phone. She messages me back after we have our strategy session and she had her meeting and she got a $3,500 increase monthly, which is a game changer.
Yeah.
But imagine if she wouldn't have asked. And now, like part of the work that we were doing when I was working with her, she was just saying, you know, I kind of feel bad for asking for more money because I already make a lot of money and I'm comfortable. But it wasn't about you already make more money than what your parents earned or, you know, what your friends are earning. It's about what does the market pay and what value are you adding to the company that you work for? And she's like kicking butt. She's doing amazing work. So you should be fairly compensated based on the market rate. Going back to mindset, like a lot of the negotiation is pulling out those cobwebs of why don't we want to negotiate? Or, you know, if we're already getting paid a lot, or they offered you a little bit more money than what you expected to make anyway, you're like, I'm good. But my whole thing is don't leave any money on the table. Like, at least we're going to say, is this the best we can do? And that phrase right there, is that the best we can do, is one of my favorite things to say in a negotiation, because it really allows for the dialogue to continue.
That's interesting. Yeah. So talking about your book, Don't Leave Money on the Table, tell me a little bit about what's in the book. Like, what can somebody expect when they pick up the book?
Yes. So this book is a quick read, very intentional. That was one of my guiding things with the book. I've read so many phenomenal negotiation books, but they're several hundred pages long. And when you're in a jam and you need to have a conversation, you need a quick guide. So what you can expect from the book is chapters that you can get through very quickly. In the back of the book, I put together negotiation frequently asked questions. So what I've done is over the years, I've had spreadsheets of so many sales of different questions that I've been asked. So what I did was I went through, compiled similar questions, and I put together that FAQ guide in the back of the book. So that's one of the things that people really love. Also, I give you a lot of prompts where, for example, is this the best we can do? I give you other examples of things you can say in a negotiation, but I have blocks in the book where you can write in the book and create your own version of what I've suggested that you may say. So you put your own spin on it, your own personality, the vocabulary that you use in everyday conversation. You have those prompts inside of the book so that when you do go to have those conversations, you feel very confident because it's your authentic voice and it's not Jacqueline's voice.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think it's great, like you said, to have like a quick guide, because when you are in those situations, you just want to know, okay, what am I supposed to say? What am I not supposed to say? How do I do it? And yeah, you're right. You don't want like 200 pages and where you're finished going, okay, wait, what? What am I supposed to do? Yeah, I think that's awesome that it is that, because I get asked this question a lot from people. It's like, okay, but what am I supposed to say? And I think that's where it really comes down to, people just get stuck. Like, they understand maybe negotiation is obviously something they should do, but when it comes down like to the practice of how do I actually do it, that seems to be where things fall apart.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's where people in theory will be able to say, yes, I know I need to negotiate, but they don't know what to say or how to say it. And then take it a step further, one of the things that holds people back is that they let fear trip them up. Like, oh, what if they take the offer from me? Or what if, you know, they don't like me? And I will tell you, recently, I had a client that I was working with. She counteroffered at the market rate because they lowballed her. And when she countered, they pulled the offer. So she kept interviewing and she really wasn't disappointed because there was no way she was going to do like a traveling job for the salary that they were offering. So Fast forward, she gets two additional offers. That same company that rescinded their offer, they come back to her with a better offer, but it was like a month later. So one part of negotiation, and we kind of touch on this briefly with the walk away point, is you have to be willing to walk away, because if you feel so desperate that you have to take whatever option is there, your judgment is clouded. And that's a good indicator that you're not making a decision in clarity. So,
yeah,
don't be afraid to walk away.
Yeah, I was going to actually ask you, you know, how do you fight through the fear? I mean, there's so many times when I have negotiated and literally like my palms are sweaty, my heart is racing, and I know it's the right thing to do, but I feel like internally a mess. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's part of the process, right? Just like going through that and fighting through that.
So true. So I talk about this in the book too, and I have an exercise where you can take whatever fear you're experiencing around that negotiation and you turn it into an affirmation. So similar to you, even though I do this every day, sometimes I still get nervous and sweaty when I'm about to negotiate. So I really ask myself, what's the worst thing that can happen here? They can say no. And then I go a step further. What are my thoughts around this? Why do I feel hesitant? Why am I sweating about this negotiation? And then whatever that thought that comes to mind is, then I just find an affirmation. I switch it over to an affirmation. I'm like, I'm really good at XYZ. So yes, I can ask for this. So software is at the top of my head because that's what I negotiated yesterday. I'm negotiating with a company for a software deal, and I told them, you know, I would be a great case study for you, my business size, the type of business that I have. And so this can be a win-win. If you can give me 50% off for my year membership, I'll pay up front to use your software, and I can also be used as a case study. And so going into that, my thought was, who the heck are you to negotiate with the damn software company?
Yes.
But then I thought to myself, you know what? Who am I? I'm a best-selling author. I run a global business. And yes, I would be a great case study. So
that mic drop, right?
Right. Like,
yeah.
So I turned my fear into an affirmation.
Wow. I love that. Oh my gosh. There's been so many gems. It is always so much fun to chat with you. But as we said, the new year is right around the corner, and I'm all about like taking steps today that you can do practically to make your life more fulfilling. And negotiating is definitely one. If you're looking for more money for savings or to buy a house, or maybe your budget is really tight, maybe you just need to step out and try negotiation and see what could happen. Maybe you're like the person you talked about that adds an extra $3,000 a month to their budget. Who knows? But if you could leave us with just maybe one tip of how to be confident when negotiating, what would it be?
I would say this. Think about a time where you've asked for something and you got it, and let that be the catalyst to carry you through. Shauna, you've said this before, and it's something that I do and I've done for years. Call your cell phone provider, your insurance provider, you know, renters, homeowners insurance, and say, am I getting the best possible deal? That is a negotiation. And so if you need confidence, start off doing the small stuff like the cell phone provider, the insurance companies, and just ask if you're getting the best deal. And that momentum will carry you through to do things that will build that negotiation muscle for higher stakes.
I always love it when Jacqueline is on the show. Her wisdom and just like super real talk always gives me like the little kick in the butt that I need to walk into any negotiation, knowing that I'm worth it and I totally got this. You can connect with Jacqueline on LinkedIn, which is her favorite place to hang out, or pick up a copy of her book, Don't Leave Money on the Table, on Amazon. Not to worry though, I'll have all the links in the show notes so you can easily connect with Jacqueline. Hey, thanks so much again for checking out this episode. Do me a favor, head on over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.